Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hello, my friends. I hope you're doing well today, and welcome back to r/pro revenge, where a lot of you come to get your daily dose of satisfaction by listening to others getting what they deserve. Guys, in today's episode, there's going to be three stories. The first story is about a grandpa sending a sleazy contractor to jail. The second story is how a landscaper deals with a client who won't pay up, and we'll finish up with a shady mechanic story. Guys, I hope you stay for the stories today because they're absolutely incredible, and hit that subscribe button for future revenge stories. This first story is titled, Contractor Procrastinates for Profit, Gets Prison. So this is something that happened to my grandfather. To understand him, he was a quality control engineer for a pretty major marketing firm, and he was a master of aggressively renegotiating deals. He was and is a strict taskmaster. Not entitled or unreasonable, but if something went wrong, there would be hell to pay. So, he decided that he wanted to renovate his home. Take the moderately big two-story house and add two new bedrooms and a master bath. He brings in a contractor and gets a quote, and they say, as part of the work, they'll need to completely refinish the front too. My grandfather agrees, and they start work. It's a serious effort, and winds up carving open the whole front of the house, and all sorts of madness. Things go well at first, the destruction goes smoothly, then starts construction. At first, things were just slow going. Sluggish delivery from all sources, slow permits from the city, you get the idea. And then things get silly. It took them over 3 months to start and finish the plumbing, 4 months for the insulation. My grandfather is paying for a lot of time and not a lot of work done. He's irritated about the speed, but besides making some noise, there's not really much to be done about it. And bit by bit, the house starts to come together. Then, as they're putting on the weatherproofing, an inspector comes in and puts a stop to the whole affair. The contractor had improperly filed the plans. Now, my grandfather is pretty furious by this point, but he keeps a cool enough head and starts asking what's going to be done about it with the contractor. The thinking was that they redraft the plans and send them out for reapproval. The contractor says he'll do it. And 5 months go by. The house is just sitting there. Fancy new framework is still hanging in the breeze. And then, all of a sudden, the contractor says he's pulling out. He had no idea the hell he'd just unleashed. My grandfather didn't just jump straight into suing him. Oh no, sir. He took his time before even getting a lawyer. He did his homework, tracked down every single client the guys had for the last 3 years, and did a deep dive on the books to figure out what the hell happened. It turns out that this wasn't an isolated incident, just the most egregious. As it happens, this contractor had a penchant for screwing people over, turning minor renovation jobs into complete dumpster fires. His modus operandi was to file the changes with the city, make a private second set of plans, start making things based off the second set, intentionally let the city halt the construction, then restart the project on a third draft. After talking to some other customers, he and 8 other victims collectively filed charges against him. They annihilated the guy. They took every cent he had, liquidated his company, and sent him to something like 15 years in prison for fraud, and got the state to help recoup expenses. 2 months later, a new contracting company blitzed my grandfather's renovations, and he was able to drink in his master suite to toast his revenge. Now this is a good revenge. A lot of people may have just called it a day after the contractor pulled out, But the grandpa wasn't willing to deal with the sleazy contractor's shenanigans. You can only mess with so many people before one person takes a stand. This next story is titled, Don't Want to Pay for the Work Done? Have a Dead Yard. Quick backstory to keep it from being too boring. I had recently lost my job, and like most people at the time, I was having to do odd jobs on Craigslist just to get by. I recruited a friend to help me do the various odd jobs since he was in a similar situation. We pooled our resources and cobbled together enough equipment to do landscaping work. We were both young, like early 20s, and didn't really know when we were getting scammed or fooled. So we got a call from one of our ads to do some landscaping work for a guy who happened to live about a mile away. Awesome, we wouldn't have to spend too much on gas, but we'd have to sacrifice our Labor Day weekend to do the job, since it was a large job. The guy asked us to put in a raised bed that essentially wrapped around his entire house. Imagine a house in a newly built subdivision that has a smallish yard and a few trees. He wanted the bed to be built with landscaping bricks and wanted us to copy a style that his neighbor has done. Cool, no problem. We try to discuss the payment, but he keeps giving us the runaround, and because we were in a desperate situation, we get fooled into doing the work with no agreed upon labor fee, and this was our mistake, and one that we never made again. We were just happy to have some work. We spent two full days working our asses off in the middle of summer, not really knowing what we were getting paid. We were using our tools, truck, and time grinding away, but we kept wondering why this guy was acting so shady. Finally, on day three, near the end of the day, I'm fed up with the runaround and knock on the door and confront the guy about payment. He starts getting all aggressive and starts threatening us with non-payment, which immediately escalates the situation. I grab my friend and bring him into the argument. After about 30 minutes of arguing, the guy decides he will pay us $70 for the work. Yeah, $70 to split between us after 3 days of labor. We loaded up our truck with tools, then waited for the guy to come out with our cash. This guy comes out with a huge wad of cash, but proceeds to only count $70 in front of us. We collect our money and grab our last item, a tarp. We had been using a really large tarp to put the weeds, grass, and extra dirt on to make our lives easier, since we didn't have a wheelbarrow at the time. The accumulated mound on this thing must have been 4 feet high. We drag it into the middle of his front yard and dump the tarp. This is the first screw you. We load up and peel out because, you know, we're angry youngsters. And now for the pro revenge part. So my friend's mom was a real landscaper. She heard our story and offered up some excellent revenge advice. She told us to take the backpack sprayers we had, fill them with a warm saltwater mix, and then ride over and spray his yard. We had planned to do this about 2 months later. When the time came, we executed the plan at night. Around 2 a.m., we parked down at the pool parking lot, walked down to his house, and absolutely bombed this dude's yard. We came back about a month later, and everything was dead or dying. Flowers, grass, small trees, all of it. Guys, I don't know much about landscaping or grass, and do correct me if I'm wrong, but if the ground is salted, there's no chance in recovery, right? Like, you'd have to dig everything up and put down new grass. I've always heard that salting the earth pretty much kills everything, and nothing can ever grow again.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
This last story is titled, "My Car is Unsafe to Drive, and You Can't Release It to Me? Enjoy Your Arrest." I'm a chick nursing student. I'm also 30, a military vet, and have always, always done 90% of the work on my vehicles. The only things I can't do are balance tires, which I don't have the tools for, and some of the large work that requires things like cherry pickers and whatnot. So, like any good vehicle owner whose vehicle has sat for a long period of time without being driven, after getting back from a 6-month mobilization that left my truck sitting in dry storage, I went through and did maintenance. I checked and replaced the fan belts, air filters, spark plugs, oil and fuel filters, did an oil change and radiator flush, checked the battery and connections, checked my brake pads and alignment, swapped out my winter tires for summer tires, cleaned out my truck, and replaced my winter survival gear with summer survival gear. And last but not least, I added injector treatment to my fuel tank, filled my tank, and took my truck to have the tires balanced by a Le Schwab tire place. Now, because of the other errands I had, and because I just spent 6 months in unpleasant sandy areas in uniform, I dressed up. Heels, dress slacks, silk blouse, well-tailored jacket, and hair up in a bun. Dressed like that, I dropped my truck off, agreed that I needed the tires balanced, and that was it, and was told that it would be about an hour. Awesome. I was about to walk off to my other errands down the block when I noticed through a big glass window, the Le Schwab tire place was already pulling my truck into the bay, so I decided to wait. And being the interested person I am, I watched as two guys started to pull the tires off my truck, and a third, the man who had taken my keys and agreed that I was only asking for my tires to be balanced, sat in the driver's seat, jotting down notes on a little notepad. After about 10 minutes, the third guy with the notepad came back inside and walked over to me and explained that during his free assessment of my vehicle, he found a lot of safety issues that needed to be corrected. I asked him, "Like what?" He responded, "Well, it's like this," and proceeded to rattle off a list of 10 or 12 items from his notepad that he had noticed in his free assessment. He told me the fan belt needs to be replaced, it's overdue for an oil change and radiator flush, the fuel and oil filters are shot and have to be replaced, the brake pads are shot and have to be replaced, and the alignment is totally out of whack and ruined my tires, which also now have to be replaced instead of just balanced. Everything on his list were things that I had checked or replaced, and he ended with this. "I'm really sorry, miss, but your vehicle is one big safety problem. I can't release it to you to drive in the condition that it's currently in." Keep in mind that not only had I just done all the work, but he never once opened the hood of my truck. You can't look at the majority of what I've listed here without opening the hood of the vehicle. After a moment of consideration, I asked him how much he thought it would take to make it quote-unquote roadworthy. He screwed up his face and did some math in his little notebook. He says, "A rough estimate? About $3,700, but it could cost more because your vehicle is technically an import, and the parts can be hard to find." I then asked to speak with the manager and was told that the manager was out for the day. I then responded with, "So, you're telling me that unless I get $3,700 worth of work done on my vehicle, you can't release the vehicle to me, the rightful owner, because it isn't safe or roadworthy?" He says, "Yes." He continued on with his babble of apologies and explanations in a sly, fakely apologetic and condescending tone, and asked if there was anyone to give me a ride home. I asked him to give me a couple of minutes. I walked out into the parking lot and got on my phone, out of earshot from him or his mechanics, who were still balancing my tires, and promptly got on the phone with the sheriff's department. When I explained everything to the officer, he promised to be out in 15 minutes to help me clear the matter up. I walked back inside and told the mechanic, with the sweetest smile that I could conjure, that I would have someone here presently to help me with the matter. I also asked him for the list of repairs needed, along with his quote, so I could discuss it with my friend, who would be arriving shortly. He happily handed me the evidence to his arrest and even signed his name on it for me, so I could, quote, get in contact with him if I needed more than today to consider the repairs and costs. The cherry on top of the whole thing was, the absent manager walked in just in time to see the employee get handcuffed, and I got a free tire balance service because of what the now former employee tried to pull. Some mechanic shops are super sleazy, and it totally sounds like the mechanic was trying to upsell to get a hefty commission. A lot of shops prey on people who look like they have no clue about their vehicles. And it's sad to say, but a lot of the times it's women or the elderly. I don't think they can legally hold your vehicle though and force you to do repairs. The reason I say this is, I have a friend at Honda who worked on a car with balding tires that were unsafe to drive. And the customer refused to replace the tires because, you know, he didn't have any money. So basically what Honda gets you to do is to sign a waiver form that basically said they inspected the tires, deemed it unsafe to drive on, and the customer was the one who refused to change. So yeah, I don't know. I don't know what kind of shady mechanic shop this is that tried to hold the vehicle from her. I don't think you can legally do that. And that's it for this episode of r/pro revenge. If you didn't catch the last episode of r/pro revenge, OP's boss slams her leg in a door, and she decides to take down his business. It's a really good tale. So if you haven't heard it, click the video right now. I hope you guys got your revenge fix for the day, and I'll see you guys in the next one.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.